Well, Father, we thank you for those words through Christ Lord. Amen. So let us begin back to fidelity. Fidelity is so important. And what it means is faithfulness. You know, in a family relationship and a husband and wife relationship, fidelity is what it's all about when it comes down to the bottom line. And so we're going to look at the word emet, which is a good example before we get into Samuel, who was a great example of fidelity, of doing the course. Emeth is number 571. It's an adverb. And its first usage was in Genesis 24:27.
Let's see. E-M-I-T?
E-M-E-T. And you can put an H. Some people put an H. No, others people do not. But Genesis 24:27. It's always usually, it's not always, but it's associated with Hesed. Hesed and Emet. So you have words that are part of the package. You have Sheol, and what's the other word?
Hades.
Comes with Sheol?
Gehenna.
No, death. Sheol and death. Sheol and death are tied together. You have spirit and what?
Breath.
Power.
Okay.
And so you're always going to say spirit and power. You know, Yahushua says, you shall be enclosed with power from on high. Stay in Jerusalem. You know, so, and like Bullinger used to say, you could say, you're going to be endued with ruach, or spirit, that is to say, power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can bring them together. You know, death is completely attached to Sheol. So what's going to be thrown in the lake of fire?
Death and Sheol
are going in the lake of fire. And you have Hesed and Emeth. And so Genesis 24:27.
Pardon me, I'm sorry, what?
Genesis 24:27. We're going to have you sitting closer. Well, so she can hear. I think I've been listening to tapes and she's not hearing a lot of this and asking questions.
Sorry.
I need to be over here.
Nope.
Okay.
That went well. 24:27 is the first usage. Okay. Let me see here. Let's do 26. Then the man bowed his head and bent himself down unto Yahweh and said, Blessed be Yahweh, Elohim of my Lord Abraham, who hath not withdrawn his Hesed and his Emet, faithfulness, from my Lord. I being in the way, Yahweh led me into the house of the brethren of my Lord. And that's when obviously he was looking for
Rebecca,
Isaac's wife. There is Hesed and Emet. So the word loving kindness in the Rotheram is going to be Hesed, and faithfulness is Met. So what does it mean? Firmness, faithfulness, truth. And if you look up the word truth, Robert Young is interesting because he translates Emet truth. And we don't think that way. But the word truth, the original meaning of the true meaning is faithfulness. Alright? And now it means,
accurate.
Yeah, it means accuracy. And that's not what the word truth means. And you could say he's a truthful friend, but the truth means faithfulness, reliability, continuance. It's from the verb, and Hebrew words come from the verb, and emet comes from aman. Yeah, so it's great.
And it's faith.
And which comes from amen. We have amen, and we have aman, just spelled with an A.
And then it's faith.
And yeah, and the first usage is Genesis 15:6.
Was that the first aman. Usage of emet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 15:6. Is also with Abraham. Aman. 15:6. Let's see here. And he had faith or aman in Yahweh. So be reckoned to him as righteousness. So we know that verse over and over. And faith does not mean trust. Faith means certainty. I mean, aman means certainty. So now we have...
Can you spell aman?
A-M-A-N. So it's just like amen. Amen comes from aman. And when somebody says amen, that means so be it. All right? Aman is certainty. So he has certainty in Yahweh as he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So faith is not hoping for something to happen. That's the word hope. You know, aman is certainty. And so, very simply, what are we certain about? Well, we're certain about, all of us here, of life, age, and body. I know we, and we're certain that we're going to see the sun will be seen tomorrow. So we have certain things that you're going to guess your whole life on. But that's not part of the deal. So, but we're looking at emet or fidelity. Fidelity, the relationship with our Heavenly Father is so huge. And Samuel's going to portray it. And we got to re-examine ourselves. So let's go to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. What is Yahweh asking of us? And this is Shema. Shema. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. Thou hast ahad Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So these words which I command you today have been upon thy heart, and thou hast impressed them upon thy sons, and thou hast spoken of them when thou sittest down, when thou standest up, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou hast bound them as signs upon thy hands, and they serve as bands between thy eyes, and thou hast written them on the posts of thy house and within thy gates.
Amen.
That's Yahs, but that's all past tense. Let's just see what it says.
Six what?
Six, chapter four, or verse four, chapter six. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh alone. Thou shalt therefore love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Any questions? What does that mean? That is everything. That is what's required of us. We want total allegiance, fidelity. I am it. I am jealous. I am not going to share you with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just like a husband and wife, you know, I'm not going to share my wife or the husband with somebody else, and you have two different affections, because we're going to say you can't have two masters. Let's see here. And we're going to see the broken fidelity. Oh, let's just go to verse 14 of the same chapter 6. Yeah, about that. What that? You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people who are surrounding you, for what?
A jealous
El is Yahweh thy God in thy midst, lest the anger of Yahweh thy Elohim kindle upon thee, and so he destroy thee from off the face of the ground. Jealousy, you know, you got envy, it means I want what somebody has. Jealousy means I'm not sharing it. You know, so I have it, so I don't share my wife, or something to that effect. So jealousy is that, and Yahweh, he wants total fidelity with him only. So when it comes down to choosing with Adam and Eve, so Adam had a choice between obeying Yahweh or his wife. Who did he choose?
Wife.
So what did he just commit?
Adultery.
And we're going to see that adultery. That's called infidelity. And Jeremiah 3, chapter 3. And that's what happened. And Yahweh is going to use that all the way through here, through his word, the relationship of husband and wife. Okay, 3:6. And you want to read 6 through 13, Aaron?
And Yahweh said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen what what apostate Israel did. She used to go up upon every high mountain and beneath every green tree and commit unchastity there. And I said, after she had been doing all these things, unto me shalt thou return? And she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Though she saw that for all this apostate Israel, having committed adultery, I had sent her away and had given a scroll of divorcement unto her, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but she also went and committed unchastity. I'm sorry, more?
Yeah, keep going to 14 or 13.
Okay, and though it had come to pass that through the levity of her unchastity she had defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and with tree, yet in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah returned not unto me with all her heart, but falsely, declareth Yahweh. Then said Yahweh unto me, apostate Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou apostate Israel, urgeth Yahweh. I will not lower my face against you, for with hased am I declaring, or declareth Yahweh. I will not maintain my anger unto time's age abiding. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that against Yahweh thy Elohim hast thou transgressed, and hast gone hither and thither into foreigners under every green tree, and unto my voice ye have not hearkened, declares Yahweh.
So we can see we're always going to commit infidelity. We're not going to be faithful at some particular time. So it's going to be very important for us to get back, to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So get back to, when it comes down between choosing your wife, you know, or your husband, or your father, or your mother, or your child, or your government, or your job, it is Christ or Yahweh there foremost. And if the other people don't want to come with that, so be it. It comes down to it. If I have to choose between any of these entities or Christ and Yahweh, then I'm committing infidelity. I'm being unfaithful. So we go to now Samuel. Oh, what a great example of fidelity he is. It's such a lifespan. 1 Samuel 1:26. Chapter 1, verse 26. Yeah. And this is Hannah. Remember the story? He was a miraculous. You want a Rotherham?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I always think of Samuel being a prophet, so I go to the prophets for some reason.
Well, no, but I mean, those are bad translations. I mean, not even a translation. But, okay. Let's go, okay, 1:26. And let's see here. And this is, Hannah didn't have a child. She prayed for a child, said she would give him to Yahweh. Yahweh gave her her request. She brings the boy weaned into Eli. That's where the story is. And 26, and she said, Hannah, pardon my Lord, by the life of thy soul, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing near thee here, praying unto Yahweh. For this boy I prayed, and Yahweh hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Hence I also have loaned him unto Yahweh all the days that he liveth. He is lent to Yahweh. Isn't that great? And look what, probably a five-year-old boy is going to do. And he, what? Bowed down there unto Yahweh.
Wow.
That's the beginning of Samuel. A side note on this. The word worship is not in the text. It comes down to it. So people, it's always the word bow down, which is shaka, which is number, this number is 7812, and it means to bow down. But when you go to the King James Version, the New Living Translation, the American Standard Translation, the NIV, what does your Bible say? Worship, right? And it's not worship. And so what you've done is somebody's just tricked you. Yeah. The word is bow down. And in other cases, when they bow down to the king, they're not going to say worship. It's the same word. So what are you doing here? You're actually interpreting, and you're not translating. And which is very dangerous, because people will say, well, you can only worship the Lord thy God. Well, no. To bow down to the Lord thy God, it says that. But people bow down to King Solomon. They bow down to King David.
Bow down to their husband.
Yeah, bow. I mean, it's all over the place. And but people have this false sense now that you have this another term called worship. No, it's bow down. And we know that the content, Yahweh is only is our God, and Christ is our Lord. We bow down to them, but people bow down to kings all the time, and strangers they would bow down.
Jacob bowed down to Esau.
Yeah, so you got things all over the place. So that's just a side note. Don't be deceived with wrong translations. It's going to deceive you. And that's what it's designed to do. And actually, I heard a person do a teaching on that. Here's how you get Jehovah Witnesses. You know, that in the boat, after he calmed the storm, the people worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus. If he's not God, they couldn't worship him. All right? Because the Lord thy God only shall thou worship. No, they bowed down to Christ, which is common every place else. Side note. Now we go to that's Samuel's introduction of 5 years old, and he bowed down there unto Yahweh. Wow. What I mean, service 5 years old. We're going to see he might have lived to be 98 years old, so he's going to serve for 93 years to be faithful, fidelity for 93 years.
Wow, Moses was 40.
Yeah, and why we say this is we have so many distractions to get us from being faithful. And usually what's going to get us is religion. Mm-hmm. It's Catholicism, it's Protestantism. In order to be part of these groups, I'm going to have to submit and not make Yahweh, love Yahweh with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to substitute Jesus as my God instead of Yahweh as my God. As Catholics, I'm going to have to bring Mary into the picture. I'm going to pray to saints. You know, I'm going to have to confess and believe false doctrines in order to be part of this church. Mm-hmm. That is not faithful to Yahweh. On the contrary, it's infidelity. So you're an infidel. Now, you still could be loving and giving your money and so forth, but you are not faithful to Yahweh, because a person says, if you don't do this, you cannot become a member of our church. And so many churches will tell you, you must sign these statement of beliefs, and if you do not agree to these statements, and even be rebaptized into their church pathway, I was already baptized. Why are you going to be baptized again? Because you're committing fidelity to what?
The church.
Yeah, and that's the same way with the Catholic Church. You're going to commit fidelity, so you have two. They're going to say, "Oh no, it's the same Master, it's the same God." No, your God's not my God. You know, if Jesus is not my God, Jesus is my Savior, and His name's not Jesus, it's Yahushua. You know, and so it's very tricky. The other people who are believers, and then they have left and go back to the world, that's another committing infidelity, unfaithfulness to Yahweh. Somebody who gave you breath, and then all of a sudden you leave them and say, adios. So let's go to 2:11, back to Samuel, his example. Then went Elkanah to Ramah, that's his father, Samuel's father, unto his own house. But the boy remaining ministering what unto Yahweh before Eli the priest, and he's in a very hostile situation. Eli, though, he did a pretty good job, but his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were pimping out or having sex with the people in the temple and everything else. I mean,
the priest said, "If you don't give us the food, we'll take it by force."
Yeah, fornication. Yeah. So bad time, and the people were bad because they're actually following the priest. Which, if you read the story, we don't have time. So he's living in a very bad place. We go to 22, and we're going to read 22 to 26. Mm. Wendy, can you do that? Same chapter.
The same chapter.
Same chapter.
22.
At the top.
1 second. Now Eli was very old, but he used to hear all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they even lay with the women who did service at the opening of the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Wherefore should ye do such things as these? For I keep hearing of your wicked doings from all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I do hear, leading into transgression the people of Yahweh. If one man sin against another, Yahweh will interpose. But if against Yahweh a man sin, who will intercede for him? But they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, for Yahweh was pleased to put them to death."
I love that. Guess what? Eli is making a choice now between serving Yahweh or his boys. But what did he choose?
The boys.
He chose his boys. And he paid the price. He paid the price. And his boys paid the price. You know, you start looking at anybody who turns on Yahweh, you're going to pay the price. Especially people who are in high position like these. This is the Levitical priest line. I mean, this is not the Levitical. This is the Aaronite priest line. Hophni and Phinehas are part of this. And you're doing this to Yahweh, you're dead man walking. And they died. And
Your sons died.
Yes, Eli died. And he was warned about it. He did not turn. So many times we can be messengers, and when we present somebody the truth like this was presented, you're going to see that Yahweh tells Samuel to tell Eli this. A prophet tells Eli this, and Eli does not reject his sons and come back to Yahweh, but instead maintains his son and pays the ultimate price. And you don't know what it's going to be like on the new earth. You know, of what he just paid on that. Now we go to 3 verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering unto Yahweh before Eli, and the word of Yahweh had become rare in those days. There was no well-known vision. And we know Yahweh called him and spoke and gave him the message. Yahweh's going to speak to us, guess what? And give us a message to give to people. And guess what? They're not going to want that message, generally. All right? So what are we going to do? So when Samuel heard the message, let's see what the message is. In verse 11, "Hey, give this to your boss."
I'm 5 years old.
Yeah, you're 5. Or you might be 10 years old or something like that.
Stepdad.
And Yahweh said unto Samuel, "Lo, I'm doing a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day will I confirm against Eli all that I have spoken against his house, beginning and finishing. Therefore do I tell them that I am about to judge his house unto time's age abiding, for the iniquity which he knoweth in his and that his sons are cursing Elohim, and he hath not what
rebuked
them." Are you rebuking your friends? Are you rebuking your family members when they're outside the word of Yahweh? If you're not rebuking them, guess what you are? An Eli. You're an Eli. Well, they're not going to like it. They're going to hate my guts. Choose your family members or choose me. Real simple. And Eli chose his family. Samuel chose
Yahweh.
Yahweh. 14, and therefore have I sworn respecting the house of Eli that the iniquity of the house of Eli shall receive no propitiatory covering by sacrifice of right present unto time's aged body. And Samuel, okay, now why are you telling me this?
I'm gonna get my butt kicked.
And Samuel laid until the morning and arose early in the morning and opened the doors of the house of Yahweh, whistling. But Samuel feared to tell the appearing unto Eli. So Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He said, behold me. And he said, what is the word which he spake unto thee? I pray thee, do not hide it from me. So let Elohim do to thee, and so let him add if thou hide from me a word of anything which he has spoken unto thee. So Samuel told him all the words and hid nothing from him. And he said, Yahweh is good. What is good in his own eyes, let him do. You damn coward, Eli. You could have said, my God, you should have went to the altar and bowed down. I don't care if there's no propitiatory covering. I am divorcing my sons at this particular time. Mm-hmm. They are completely out. And no, whatever, what'll it be.
Nineveh, yeah. Put on sackcloth.
Mm-hmm. And let's look at, and 18, and we heard that, 19, and Samuel grew, and Yahweh proved to be with him, and let none of all his words fall to the ground. Let me ask you, we're going to find out, does Samuel get in trouble with his words?
All the time, yeah.
Are you going to get in trouble with Yahweh's words? Yeah. By speaking the truth to people? Are you? Yeah. Am I? Yes. Am I? And guess what? When people speak Yahweh's words to me, I'm not going to like it if I'm not doing Yahweh's word. Is that going to stop you from speaking to me? You better not.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Well, but you do that, and that means you care about me, because it's a warning shot over the bow. You're going down this wrong road. And look at Yahweh, and Samuel grew, and Yahweh proved to be with him, and let none of all his words fall to the ground. If you read this book, you're going to see the prophecies that he gives to Saul and people like that are just so pinpoint accurate that it's just phenomenal. So all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, came to know that Samuel had become confirmed as a prophet unto Yahweh. Thus did Yahweh again appear in Shiloh, for Yahweh had revealed himself unto Samuel in Shiloh in the word of Yahweh. And so it was, when the word of Samuel had reached all Israel, that Israel went forth to meet the Philistines in battle. That's a catastrophe that happens there. Let's go to 7:2. They lose the ark. Hophni and Phinehas think, that they can be living in sin, and grab the Ark of the Covenant, and it's going to save them. And also all the soldiers in Israel thought the same thing too. And they went up against the Philistines, and they got murdered. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. And the Philistines thought they had a great prize, and they got cursed by having that. Then they gave it to the Israelites, and these guys opened the box and looked in. No. They got cursed and died, and then it came to
Obed-Edom.
Well, no, Kirjathjearim.
Oh, Kirjathjearim.
Kirjathjearim. But let's go to 7:2. That's where we are now. Then came the men of Kirjathjearim and fetched up the ark of Yahweh and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill. And Eleazar his son holiday to guard the ark of Yahweh. And so we're going to look at here. Let me see. Oh, yeah, 2. And so it was that from the day the ark came to dwell in Kirjathjearim, the days multiplied. It became 20 years. Now think of that. And all the house of Israel went mourning after Yahweh. But they're under the Philistines' rule. So once you let go, Hophni and Phinehas are dead, you're still not where you're supposed to be. Rise up, but Samuel is where he's supposed to be. We're going to see. Now we go to 8:1. and 5, and Bullinger's going to say he's 60 years old. I'm not sure where he gets it, but we're going to say he's old and gray. That's a good place. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, you know, so that says that. And well, you think Aaron's old, right? Well, perspective.
What verse are you on?
8:1.
Oh, okay.
And so if you go to Bullinger's notes, he's going to project that he's 60 years old. And why that's important to you is calculating up to 98 or 97 years old. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges to Israel. And the name of his firstborn son was Yoel, and which is Yahweh is El. And the name of his second is Abijah, which is Father Yah.
Abijah, isn't it?
Abijah. Oh. Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But look what these guys did. How about his sons walked not in his ways, but stooped to extortion and took bribes and perverted judgment. There's no guarantee. And here's a great father, a great man. Eli was a good father. Not for his sons, but he was a faithful person who was raising Samuel. All right, so he could have killed Samuel. And so they had these things, but, you know, Aaron's two sons were unfaithful.
Hophni and Phinehas.
Yeah, that was...
That's right.
No, Abihu and Nadab and Abihu.
That's right.
That was, and so, you know, what happens with two sons? Because they were struck by fire, and here's Samuel's sons are gone bad, and they want a king. So this starts, okay, 60 years old when they want a king. And guess what? They're going to, start doing backward calculation now. We're going to see, we don't have to go there, but we're going to see, you know, this starts a king. They're asking for a king. Everybody agrees with that. Saul reigns for 40 years. That's according to Acts 13:21. We don't have to go that. David was 30 years old when Samuel or King Saul died. And that's in 2 Samuel 5:4. So we know if he was 30 years old when Saul died, who had reigned 40 years, how old was David when Saul became king?
He wasn't born.
He wasn't born. How many more years before he was
10
born?
10 years?
Yeah, 10 years. So David hadn't even been born for the next 10 years. So we know that David is not anointed king until he's probably 15 or 16. So 10 years, he wasn't even born. If he's 15, how many years has Saul Ul been king?
35?
25. 25? Yeah, 25. That's 10 plus 15, okay. 25. Bullard is going to say 16, whatever. But there's 25 years. Well, if we add 25 years to 60 years old, what do we get?
85.
It says here, Samuel was old. And he was 60. Well, he's going to be in commission because we know he anoints King Saul. We know that he goes through the war with King Saul at different times. And when he finally, Saul revolts from following Yahweh by not killing the Amalekites or keeping their cattle and stuff like that too, the kingdom is rent from him and they go anoint David. The spirit is gone, withheld, taken from Yahweh. That doesn't happen with us today because Christ became our substitute. So another subject. What the free gift is that Christ accomplished for us is holy ruach. And in the old covenant, you had to be actually holy to receive holy ruach. And if you were unholy, it was taken from you. And that's what King Saul was, and it was put on David. One was put on David. With us, it's a free gift because since Christ is holy, we are reflected in his holiness. And so we all can receive the Holy Ruach and do receive the Holy Ruach. Side note. So when David gets anointed, it's been Samuel. You know, one thing about Saul's been serving faithfully for 25 years. So he has a history. It looks like it goes like that. But he has a history of success. Mm-hmm. He's honoring Yahweh. He's killing Philistines. He's grabbing things back. And so everything's going good until he gets powerful. And so this is the same with our family members and ourselves, because then we don't need Yahweh.
We don't think we
do. Yeah, well, that's it. And so Saul said, I don't need Yahweh anymore. I like being king. And I think I can do better than Yahweh. And he does, and he rebels against Yahweh. And the same thing that happened to Eli, so fidelity broke. He got divorced from Yahweh. He divorced Yahweh by his actions, mm-hmm. and tried to kill Yahweh. And how do you try to kill Yahweh?
Well, it said he would kill Samuel, and they also throw spears at David.
Yeah, David. So David is Yahweh's representative. So if I'm trying to kill the spokesman, which is the prophet, I'm trying to kill Yahweh. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to silence him. And I'm trying to kill David as the anointed. I'm trying to kill Yahweh also. So just think of that. What extreme an anointed person can go to. We saw with Eli, and now we see with King Saul, who was anointed with Holy Spirit and power, and served for 25 years. Guess what? The last 10 or 15 years are very poor. To the point, by him rejecting, so you think your friends can walk away from Yahweh? No. All right. It's better off, and this is in 2 Peter 2:2, it's better off not to have known
the word
of truth than to know it and then turn against it. And it's like a dog going back to his vomit. And it's better off, because we saw what happened to Judas. What happened to him? Mm-hmm. He committed suicide. All right, we saw what happened to Saul. Not only he dies, his sons die because of Saul. We saw what happened to Eli. He dies and his sons die. Mm-hmm. And it's just one thing after all. You turn on Yahweh, the hand's gone of protection, and guess who's still alive and well? Our adversary.
Mm-hmm.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, I have nothing to do with him. Yeah. I'll show you what happens to people who follow Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at that, so... And so by keeping your mouth quiet when somebody does that, you could be held accountable by silence. Well, I'm not going to tell them. Yeah, we're all going to become, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that we may get back which was done in the body, whether good or corrupt. And so you cannot watch a fellow believer turn on Yahweh and not speak up, very simply, to try to deliver them. And we know that's in Galatians 6:1-2. You which are spiritual, when you see somebody err, go to the person and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just did that. We got a homosexual in our office, not in our particular office. And so to just give an example, the person who runs the office is a Christian, but this is her cousin. And so she started to say, well, we don't judge. Yes, you do judge. And so I gave her information on, here's what the Bible says about sodomy. What do they call it? Not feminine, but...
Effeminate.
And what happens when people call that name transgender, and it's called transvestites and sodomites. So effeminate and sodomites. She doesn't want to judge, and so we show her the scriptures, and that's 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6. I try to have her read that. And then I gave her the doctor's journal, and here's the ramifications of what a doctor says about gay sex with men. And here's just a little section, and she got very offended on that, because I think people don't connect these people with sodomy. They're thinking of them as just loose-leaf boys with flirty things. No, it's called sodomy, what it comes down to. And there's consequences for sodomy. Life expectancy is 20 years less. Diseases are high. Suicide rate is high, and it goes in with the women also. But my point is this. I sent it to her. She got offended. I apologized. But guess what? I'm done. I gave her the truth, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, and I gave her the doctor's things. Now, you do what you want. It's your cousin. She will be held accountable by her silence, especially if the guy commits suicide 2 years from now. You know, instead of trying to deliver this guy, I was just going to accept, I accept his lifestyle. And so you're like, I'm not going to sit back and accept his lifestyle. Did that get me in trouble? Yes, it did. Did she want to hear it? No, she did not want to hear it. Did I deliver it? Yes, I delivered it. So we have to do the tough stuff, just like this. Side note. So, let's see here, there's David's out. So we go to 1 Samuel 19:1 now. But that's real application. Yahweh needs more people to stand up and be a man. Speak what is right. There's such a few of that because the intimidation is the silence, silence. And what did they tell the apostles in the book of Acts?
Silence.
Silence! Don't speak in his name. We'll stone you. We'll kill you. Forget Yahweh. Let's get rid of that name. So the new Bibles, you know, instead of life Bible, they're actually death Bibles. Instead of new living translation, they're actually the new death translation. You know, so anytime they try to put life, no, it's just the opposite, because what they do is purge the word of truth, and then to bring the, which we saw the other day, it, the itching ears of the covets of man want to hear. So they don't want to hear Yahweh. We're gonna get rid of their God's name because they don't want it. Wow, think of that. You mean these Christians don't want their God's name? No. Do they want their Savior's name? No. Wow. Okay. Then we'll keep it out of the book. Do they want power? No. Okay. We'll keep the power out too because we want to sell books. That's our job. 19:1. I digress. A little context. Then spake Saul unto Jonathan his son and unto all his servants that they should put David to death. Okay, this is where we see that he's on the hunt. And verse 18 to 24.
And Jonathan should have defected to David.
Yeah, he should have.
He chose his father. He did the same thing.
And it ended his life.
Yeah.
So somebody want to read Melania 18 to 24?
Yeah.
This is very special. Back to Samuel.
So David fled and escaped and came in unto Samuel and Ramah. Told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel departed and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Lo, David is in Naoth and Ramah. So Saul will send messengers to take David, but when they saw the assembly of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as head over them, then came the spirit of Yahweh, or Elohim, upon the messengers of Saul. And they also were moved to prophecy. And when they told Saul, and he sent other messengers, then they were also moved to prophecy. And when Saul again sent messengers a third time, then were they also moved to prophecy.
Prophesy.
And then when he also himself to Ramah and came in as far as the well of the threshing fork, which is in Septi, and asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Lo, in Naoth and Ramah. And when he departed from this towards Naoth and Ramah, then came upon him also the Ruach of Elohim. Then he went on and on and was moved to prophesy until he entered Naoth and Ramah, and even he stripped off his upper garments, and even he was moved to prophesy before Samuel. Now think of the power zone here, and this is something going on. So Samuel, and laid prostrate, disrobed all that day and all the night. For this cause, they say, is even Saul among the prophets. You're looking at, but here's Samuel. He is over 85 years old. And still in this action, being faithful to Yahweh. Now we go to 25:1. So all this other still happens, and Samuel hasn't died yet. So this old man, when the king became king, he was 60, and now they're going to say, Boaz's going to believe he was 98. So 25:1, and Samuel died, and all Israel were gathered together and made lamentation for him, and buried him within his own house in Ramah. And David rose and went down into the wilderness of Maon. Look at that. From about 5 years old to 98 years old, Samuel stayed the course.
Right? 93 years.
Being maybe hunted by renting the kingdom from a king is not popular.
Yeah.
But he ended up doing it. So we know, we'll kind of end up here, but we know these words in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve two masters. Very simply, and most people think they can. I can serve Yahweh, and I can serve the lust of my flesh. I can go to church on Sunday and ask for forgiveness, and I can commit fornication right after that, you know, Monday through Friday, and then go to church. And or try to live this double lifestyle, or I can sell my soul to a church in order to conform to be part of the member. So obviously the church becomes my other God is what it comes down to. And we know that 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 is, for the love of the Christ constraineth us, having known this, that one in behalf of all died, therefore all died, and in him they all died. Therefore, they who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. So our job is fidelity to Christ regardless of the cost. Well, I'll never get married that way. So be it. I mean, if it comes down to that. You know, I've got to submit myself or I'll never get a job that way. So be it. If it comes down to that, I'm going to do what Yahweh wants me to do and follow Christ. And guess what? They never said it was going to be a rose garden. They said just the opposite, didn't they? They said, what's going to happen to you?
Be stoned.
Or
the world's going to hate you.
You're going to hate you. Well, I don't like that. I want to be liked. I want to be part of the crowd.
I want to be part of the king.
Yeah, and you see Donald Trump. Was he part of the crowd?
No.
No. Did the adversary them come after him tooth and nail? Absolutely. You know, so you're looking at, did he give in?
No.
No, he has not given in. You know, all the authority that came against him. And so we need to keep praying for him and other people like them. That's what we signed up for. And so faithfulness, and when we're not faithful, repent. Amen. And get back on it and on the God and say, I'm lonely. Yahweh, send somebody because I'm lonely.
But he'll meet our
needs. Family members have deserted me.
You'd give us something better.
Yeah, but you have to say, amen. Yeah, but you told me it wasn't going to be sweet. Okay, but I'm doing that. I don't like it. But guess what? When I have to choose, not happening.
Yeah.
Here's another temptation. Not happening. Hey, you can become very rich. Not happening. You know, I'm just going to stay the course like Samuel, the Apostle Paul. I finished my course. I've read the race. Was he popular at the end?
No,
the Apostle Paul?
Departed.
No. Everybody
he
was
gone. He would not be allowed in churches today.
Yeah.
Christ would not be allowed in churches today.
They wouldn't even recognize him.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you?
He just came in and spoke what he spoke there. Was he recognized in Jerusalem?
No.
No. Was he recognized in
Capernaum?
Capernaum? No. Was he recognized in Nazareth, his hometown?
No.
No, what'd they want to do to him? Was he in church? Yeah, he was in church. And what'd they do? They chased him out, we're going to throw him down the hill.
Cliff.
Well, is that what we signed up for? Okay.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and sign up. I didn't know.
Well, Heavenly Father, we're going to go ahead and end with a prophecy. So, Father, we thank you so much for these words for the people. In the future, Be patient and know that I work in patience. You've got to be long-suffering. You know, this is a long road. This is a difficult road that you've signed up for. But I am with you. I'm always with you. I never said it was going to be sweet. The new earth will be sweet. The new earth will be the kingdom where there'll be righteousness day in and day out. But hang in there and I will empower you. I have empowered you to equip you for anything the adversary can throw at you. By putting on the whole armor of Yahweh, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. So you have been equipped. Your job to put it on. Amen.